Thank you. Okay.
Here I dreamt I was a soldier, and I marched the streets of Birkenau. And I recall in spring the perfume that the air would bring to the indolent town.
That's Colin Molloy, recorded live at the Aladdin Theater in Portland, Oregon, the hometown of the band for which he is the lead singer and songwriter, the Decemberists. But that song can be found on a release of live tracks of Colin's solo performance at some of the best venues across the country. He's currently on tour right now, solo, and has stopped by our studio. Hi, Colin.
Hello.
So what made you decide to put out a solo acoustic record full of covers and some stripped-down December songs?
I don't know. I mean, it was just, I was doing the solo tour at the time, and it seemed like a good idea to record all of the shows and try to cobble together some sort of record out of it. The Decemberists had never done a live record, and it seemed like a good opportunity since I didn't really have any plans of doing a solo record, mm-hmm. you know, a proper solo record, that this would be fun to do as a project in and of itself.
On the records, you were talking to the audience, you're doing the rock talk a little bit, and you're saying, hey, I want a jamboree vibe, everybody dive in, sing. Were you able to accomplish that vibe?
Yeah, I think inevitably people, that just kind of happens. I always think of the solo shows as being, you know, the 30% hardcore Decemberist fan base, so inevitably they know not only all the words, but they can sing the little guitar melodies that mm-hmm. are missing from the songs, and that's been fun to get them. But yeah, the campfire vibe is a good thing.
One of your fans actually told a Boston paper, Decemberist fans are the most amazing singers.
They can be. You know, actually, it's true. Last night at the show in Williamsburg, there was actually like three-part harmonies going on in the front row. It was pretty phenomenal. They're more than happy to have an opportunity to show off some of their vocal arrangement skills.
To be fabulous for you?
Yeah, totally.
When you're putting together your set list, how do you decide which covers you want to take on? Does it have to have a certain, do you have a criteria? Is it lyrics? Is it playability?
It's usually if it just comes to me. I mean,
really?
on the solo, on that live record, all of those little covers that were thrown in, the Fleetwood Mac and the REM snippet and the Pink Floyd snippet, is just pure, like, oh, this would be kind of fun if I did this right now, and kind of funny, I guess. And so... And so that's really what spurs those. But the cover, I do a cover EP each time around as well, and that's more, I guess, of a deliberate choice of picking an artist to cover.
And tell me a little bit how you decide about the artist.
Well, I think just whatever is kind of I'm into at the time, you know. It started out, with the first solo tour that I wanted to do, I had always harbored dreams of covering a bunch of Morrissey songs, especially like obscure B-side Morrissey songs, which I really liked. So I did that, and then the next time around, I thought that I should just, you know, make it a thing, you know. And so I did some Shirley Collins arrangements of old folk songs. And this time around, I was trying to figure out who to do, and I decided Morrissey and Shirley Collins being about as Anglo as you can get, I figured it'd maybe get somebody a little more American, and so I went for Sam Cooke, which is kind of the polar opposite of Shirley Collins and Morrissey.
What are you going to play for us today?
Oh, I was going to play, this is one song that's on the Sings Live record that is probably will forever be relegated just to that record, and it's called Wonder, and it was written shortly after I found out my girlfriend was pregnant, and sort of that feeling of, you know, freaking out about it, which I'm sure you may be aware of. My darling, what wonder have we wrought here? It's weird and it's wonderful, dear.
all ankles and earlobes and elbow bones. It's weird how it wonderful grows, and it was only me and you. My darling, what a wonder have we wrought here. It's weird and it's wonderful, dear. All ankles and earlobes and beating heart. Oh, weird and a wonderful start. And it was only me and you. Made this three come out of two. My darling, what a wonder have we wrought here. It's weird and it's wonderful, dear. It's weird. Mostly wonderful, dear.
We're speaking with Colin Malloy, lead singer of the Decemberists. And you've been out touring on your own, doing some solo work. But there's some other side projects you've been involved with. This book right here for our listeners. Part of the 33rd and a third series, you wrote it about the Replacements' Let It Be. As a songwriter, can you explain to me why Paul Westerberg is such a great songwriter?
I don't know. You know, I think he's a great songwriter. I also think that what I've learned and what I've taken from Paul Westerberg and the Replacements is a certain ability to not take yourself so seriously on stage and otherwise, and, you know, have the courage to kind of tear down what you're doing. I mean, I always think, like, their first show in New York at CBGB's, infamously packed to the gills with A&R, like heavy, heavy A&R people. This is like when Hootenanny came out. And rather than what I would have done, you know, it's like get really nervous and go on stage and try to put on the best show that you can, you know. What they did is they just got absolutely wasted.
Ripped, snorting, drunk.
And then played a bunch of covers, like half-remembered covers all the way through. And to have the courage to tear your career apart like that is really impressive. Not that I've come close to doing things like that, but I don't know that I would ever actually do that.
One of the other projects the Decemberists have been involved in is the theme song for one of my favorite shows, Weeds.
Oh, yeah.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes, little boxes, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
Did the producers contact you, and were you aware that they have different artists?
Yeah,
somebody
contacted our management and they asked us, and we went online and looked at some of the other people who had done them, and I really liked the original song. So, yeah, and everybody's kind of taking their different stab at it, so we kind of turned it into a dirge.
For people who don't know the show, it's about this woman who is widowed, and to make ends meet, she becomes a weed dealer in this sort of perfectly manicured McMansion-like cul-de-sac. Did you watch the show before you recorded that?
Yeah, I haven't watched it regularly, but I saw a few episodes.
Did you bring anything after watching the show to the cover of it, or were you just into the music of it
all? I think we were just getting into the music of it all. I don't think we were really reading into it. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, the major key part is about the veneer and the minor key part is about what's going on underneath, which is obviously a major theme of that show,
right,
in case you didn't get that.
And I have to ask this, or else I'll be stoned by NPR listeners, or I'll at least be scolded badly, because your album, The Crane Wife, was the best album of 2006, voted by NPR listenership. So are you working on a new record? When can we expect a new record? What's going on?
Yeah, well, we just recorded a handful of songs. We're not quite sure what we're going to do with, but we have 2 months blocked out in the summer to work on a project. And what that project will be is still sort of up in the air, but it'll be a Decemberist record, but probably a very different one. That's all I can really say at this point.
I tried, everybody. I tried. Before we let you go, can you play one more song for us?
Oh, sure. All right, this is a cautionary song. There's a place your mother goes when everybody else is soundly sleeping. Through the lights of Beacon Street, and if you listen, you can hear her weeping. She's weeping. 'Cause the gentlemen are calling, and the snow is softly falling on her petticoats. She's standing in the harbor and she's waiting for the sailors in the jolly boat. See how they approach. With dirty hands and trousers torn, they grapple till she's safe within their keeping. A gag is placed between her lips to keep her sorry tongue from any speaking or screaming. And they row her out to packets where the sailor's sorry racket calls for Maidenhead. And she's scarce above the gunwales when her clothes fall to a bundle and she's laid in bed on the upper deck. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. And so she goes from ship to ship, her ankles clasped, her arms so rudely pinioned, until at last she satisfied the lot of the marina's teeming minions in their opinion. And they tell her not to say a thing to cousin kindred kithakin, or she'll end up dead. And they throw her $30 and return her to the harbor where she goes to bed. And this is how you're fed. So be kind to your mother, though she may seem an awful bother. And the next time she tries to feed you, call her green. Remember what she does when you're asleep.
Do you like collard greens?
Oh, I hate them.
I love them.
Oh, you do? I can't stand them.
Maybe you have to have them made right.
Maybe so.
Next time you come through New York.
Okay.
I'll hook you up.
Okay.
Colin Malloy, thanks for stopping by NPR.
Thank you for having me.
Caught you mid-gulp. Stay with us. Coming up on the BPP, Chris Rock's mom is here to lay down the law. She's got a new book on raising kids, and she's going to give my friend Allison some tips
as she heads out on maternity leave. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.